Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery. Hello, snack lovers. Curb your cravings with My Mochi ice cream. Imagine a scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream in your favorite flavor. Now imagine that scoop wrapped up in the sweetest, softest dough known to mankind. That's My Mochi ice cream. Sweet, chewy, cool, and creamy, all in one bite. It's quite possibly the most joyfully chill sensation you've ever had in your life. My Mochi ice cream comes in tons of fabulous flavors, like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are about 80 calories each, and it's also gluten-free. You can find My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a grocery store near you. That's MyMochi.com. Discover the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
Hey everyone, Late Night is off this week, but please enjoy this special edition of the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. Today you'll hear a podcast exclusive conversation between Seth and his friend, country star Brad Paisley. They discuss how Brad ended up playing Seth's wedding and their shared love of comedy. Now let's go to Seth and Brad Paisley.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm here with my friend Brad Paisley. Thanks for doing this, Brad.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
No, you didn't. But this is very exciting. I'm glad you're on the show tonight. We're going to chat, which I'm very excited about, and you're going to play some music, which is great. Very few people can come on the show and do both, so thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We should start just asking all of our guests to make sure they can
also
do... If you're going
to sing, you have to talk.
Yeah. So we've talked about this briefly, but I do want to bring it up again. The reason we know each other is you were asked by my sister-in-law to sing at my wedding.
Indirectly through my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Brother-in-law.
It's a weird connection, but, and it wasn't, you did not have a lot of run-up to this.
No, it was like 48 hours, wasn't it?
48 hours.
Basically, I'm a big fan of yours. I have been a long time.
Very kind.
And, is that what it says here?
Yeah. Thank you for reading it as written.
And when I, let's see, I was in the middle of tour dates. And I'd been somewhere, like the West Coast or somewhere. And around that time, my brother-in-law calls us and said, hey, I ran into Ariel, who I don't know who that is at that time. And he said, and you don't know who that is, but her sister is marrying Seth Meyers. And on a whim, they said they're big fans of yours and that your music is like their music or something. And jokingly, they said, yeah, would Brad want to sing at the wedding on Sunday or something? And this was probably Thursday or Friday of that very week. Because you guys were almost already on Martha's Vineyard for the wedding.
Yeah, well, I remember we then spoke. And well, I thought this was very noble of you.
Well, what I said was, well, I think he's fantastic. I'm a huge fan. And that sounds like a blast. I thought that's got to be the greatest group of people getting together for a wedding. I don't even like weddings, typically. Yours is my second favorite wedding I've ever been to.
Was yours your first?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, then I'll let you have that.
Ours was not, as it was the anti-wedding as well. So I said, yeah, I'd do that. I mean, and then I started thinking about it and thought, this is a little, like, what if they don't really like my music? What if this is like the sister-in-law who's crazy asking if, you know, because I have a sister-in-law who's crazy.
Yeah.
And so it's the type of thing where you're thinking, what if I get up there and Seth is like, what is he? Well, I don't like his music. What is he doing?
And now that you do know Ariel, it's very believable that she would
very
lie.
Very much. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. and so I said, well, look, I'm going to need to hear it from him. I'm going to need, you know. And so we emailed each other.
Yep.
And I just said, look, I'm in to do this, but I got to hear it from you that you really actually want us there because I don't want to be, you know, crashing a wedding here.
And so you came, and it was very exciting. Well, it was great for me for two reasons. One, it was a surprise for my wife.
Right.
And two, we had had another plan for our first dance, and we had actually gone and taken dance lessons, and it was not going well.
It was what was it?
I don't even remember what the song was, but we were, it was, I mean, my...
Macarena.
I have very little rhythm, and yeah. I have 100 times more rhythm than Alexi.
Despacito wasn't out yet.
So no, Despacito. I mean, again, if it was. Right. When we renew our vows, it will be to Despacito.
Right, of course.
But, and so I realized, oh, this is great, because she will be so in awe of the fact that Brad Paisley's there that she will not in any way, shape, or form want to do our dance.
And did you get out of the dance?
I did.
I don't remember you doing anything.
We didn't do any of our dance. Every now and then, if you get a couple drinks in Alexi, she will make us at least try to do what we remember of our dance.
Right.
Next time, yeah, next time you see her, we'll do it for you. But okay. It was great, because she was genuinely, and it's a really great thing on the wedding video, because they caught the moment of her surprise. Yeah. And... you know, there is, although it was a weird thing, looking back, you know, on the day you get married, you would love for the most excited your wife looks to be when she sees you. But it was
That's typically not the case,
though. It was so a distant second.
You'd have to get married in the first week of dating for that to happen.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah, the shine was already coming off.
The woman is more interested in making sure things go right.
Yeah.
The guy's and just she trying did. To get out of there alive.
And this wedding you're complimenting. Well, also, it was a big deal for a couple of reasons. One, I did not realize how many of my friends were huge fans of yours.
I didn't either.
Which was very exciting.
And
then
I was
that
fans
was an extra...
of all of theirs, too, which was interesting. You know, you had like Forte walking up, who was one of my favorites. You know?
Yes.
Jack McBrayer, we have a long running thing joke about that now.
Really?
Well, yeah, you and I, you know, yes. with Jack, he was the nicest man on earth.
He is the nicest man on earth. And then also, you know, I went to Northwestern. I had all these Northwestern friends, and there is, of course, a Northwestern connection. Your wife, who I should mention, is in the room now.
She is.
We were at Northwestern at the same time.
She actually always is silently, you know, sort of like the censor of my interviews.
Yeah.
She's always in the corner.
She'll let
sure
you
that...
do anything you want on your own except a podcast.
Yes, she won't let me talk.
So my friends were both very excited because it was a big deal for us in college. Kim was a huge deal. And so it was very exciting for us. It was a double barrel of, oh my God, Brad and Kim are here. So that, thank you so much. That was
I was thrilled. I was thrilled to get to do it. And what a great, amazing group of people. Just, I was really struck by how you guys, all of your showbiz friends, as well as Ariel and Alexi's family, they feel like family. They just, you know, you guys really, and the speeches, we got to be, sort of hid while you guys did the speeches, and your brother's speech was insane.
Yeah.
It was the most heartfelt.
It was a great 2 days of speeches.
Yeah.
I think the history books will show that my brother's was sort of the great classic best man speech.
It was.
And then Will Forte in character. I've shown you that video.
It was the racist.
Yeah, he was Hamilton Whiteman, the worst human on earth, and he gave a very offensive.
It was
rehearsal dinner.
I've seen the video of that. I missed that, unfortunately. I wasn't there for that part.
And then you played. You didn't just play one song. You actually played with the band. It was a wedding band, a local wedding band, and they, well, I think, were having the time of their lives. Fred came at some point and played drums.
Next thing you know, it was Fred playing drums and me playing guitar, and just everybody, you on tambourine or whatever.
Yeah. But again, I'm all forever in your debt because it was so above and beyond. And so thank you so much.
I couldn't look away. It was like, it was really one of the most fun. I really don't like weddings typically.
Yeah.
They're usually so high pressure, and we missed all the vow part of this. We got there for the reception. Which
no, you guys.
When it got fun.
You guys, you were very smart. I missed this. Your kids are here as well. Hey, Huck and Jasper, how you guys doing?
Good, we're doing good.
All right, good. So I want to talk about this because Huck and Jasper, we were with them one time. We were doing karaoke last summer.
Yes, with
you
your father-in-law.
Karaoke?
And by the way, all of this is because of your father-in-law.
Yeah, well,
I should say
my father-in-law
wife,
is the entry to Brad Paisley.
The Brad Paisley fan club president.
Yeah, he really is.
He knows more about me than I know.
Yeah. He's been spreading this story around. You can verify if it's true or not. Last summer, you and he stayed up late. You were playing him songs off your new album.
That's true.
And he claims that he suggested something and you made a change on a
song. I did.
Okay.
I made a lyrical change because of him.
It will be on his tombstone that's true.
Yes. Well, fantastic.
He wants to have the original lyric and then what he changed it to.
Yeah, right. The Tom Ash remix.
But we were doing karaoke, and one thing you went up to sing, And Brad Paisley only sings Brad Paisley songs at karaoke.
Well, I mean, no, not true. Me and Alan Dershowitz did a duet on something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what weird song that was.
Like, how much is this Doggy in the Window?
It was something like, it was some weird jazz band song.
It was something that was really hip when Alan Dershowitz was young in his low teens.
Right. But yeah, I was doing the Brad Paisley things. Mm-hmm. I was taking the requests. And what's fun was that I think Tom was in like fantasy camp. He was a Make-A-Wish kid that night.
I should say your sons were incredible hype men. They were very good at introducing you. Mm-hmm. I think it's very nice. My son is not old enough to introduce me, but I think I would have a lot more enthusiasm for karaoke if I got the ladies and gentlemen Brad Paisley. Yeah. You guys are really good at that.
Yeah. Well, he'll be good at that. Yeah. He'll also not be impressed at all with you at some point. Like, they're way more impressed that I'm here talking to you than they are by anything I do.
Well, they're great lovers of comedy.
They are definitely that.
Which one of you guys did comedy at a talent show? All right.
Huck did, yeah.
And so, and you also are a great lover of comedy, as we've established, a fan of SNL. And now you've got this, we'll talk about it at the show tonight, but you did, you hosted a couple nights of comedy in Nashville.
Yeah, we for 3 or 4 years running now, I've hosted a night of the Wild West Comedy Festival. Vince Vaughn started it. Nashville has a comedy festival, which is great. Not a lot of cities have
it. I've done it, I think, once or twice, but it's
right,
great.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think it's great for our city, which has become such a great artistic place. And I don't know why they call it the Wild West Comedy Festival. It's sort of like it couldn't be further east. But
yeah, it's true.
But it's this really fun couple of days, you know, in our town. And they asked me a while back when they saw me hosting the CMAs and doing, you know, sticking my foot into this. They said, do you want to have a night of this? And so I started putting together a group of comedians that have done this now with me. It's a few have changed out, but we have a group that basically went, and Netflix showed up and said, we want to tape one of these. And so they filmed it this year, and it comes out in like a week.
So you mentioned the CMAs. You and Carrie have done it now. How many years in a row?
Nine.
And Carrie Underwood. 9 years in a row. So you guys are probably the longest serving host on any
award
show.
We're not, actually.
Who has hosted an award show more?
Well, the longest one still going. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, current active.
But Vince Gill did 12 or 13 years of the CMAs.
Of the CMAs. Mm-hmm. Is Vince Gill have a sense of humor too?
He does.
Oh, that's good to
know. He's very quick. Now, Vince approached it completely differently than we do. We're ultra prepared. Like, you came in 1 year and I was running the entire monologue by you. Remember that?
I was like, incredibly impressed.
Thank you. Well, we work really hard to make sure that what we have, because as you know, for one of those, you've got to be prepared.
Yeah.
And in this modern Twitterverse world of ours, when Vince Gill was hosting, it was like 1993.
Yeah.
And he would go up there, they would have a script, and it wouldn't be any good, and he'd throw it away. And he, like, 1 year, this was Vince's sense of humor. He was very self-effacing, and it worked, especially in that day and age. 1 year, Shania Twain was opening the show, riding in on a motorcycle down the aisle of the theater, and then up onto the stage and singing. And it was this huge Harley, and she sang this massive number with pyrotechnics. And so Vince sent out that afternoon, when he saw the final rehearsal, for a tricycle from Target. And so, you know, she finishes this major number, and then Vince wheels out on a tricycle for his monologue. It was things like that. And it was so charming, and it was so well done. And, you know, he was quick-witted.
You guys take it very seriously, but I do think what plays as well is the, and I've said this about, I went one time to the CMAs. Mm-hmm. There's such an inherent charm to it that I feel like does not exist in other award shows, because you guys make fun of people in the audience just like every other award show, but there is a sense that you genuinely know those people. They are your friends.
Yeah.
And it is friendly teasing, as opposed to, a comedian is making fun of a famous person in the audience that they've never met before.
Yeah, we all share, like, musicians and producers and labels and business people. It's not a big place. So if you're going to go out there guns blazing like Ricky Gervais and just roast, it's going to be a long year. I mean, first of all, someone, you know, your producer's going to be mad at you.
Right.
Probably someone in your management, possibly, you know, your booking agent probably books the person also that you just roasted and made their life miserable. And you can't do that. You got to be kind.
You obviously are very pure to your country roots, but you have this really great crossover appeal. And I know you worked with Mick Jagger this year. Mm-hmm. I saw you a couple years ago in New York for, I can't remember, was it Songbook? What was the name of that event where you played on stage with Paul Simon?
No, it was all for the Hall. It's a thing that benefits the Country Music Hall of Fame. That was insane.
Yeah. I mean, again, for being in the audience, just to describe real quick, you were up on stage. Paul Simon was there. There were a couple other.
Vince was there.
Vince was there.
Carrie was there.
And somebody, Emma.
Emmy Lou Harris. Yeah, Emmy Lou Harris. I mean, and talk about like running the gamut.
Is it, obviously you've gotten to meet your country heroes over the years, and you mentioned part of that is because you're in this Nashville community where a lot of those people right. live. Is it extra exciting when you get to work with people who are maybe outside that world a little
bit? It is, because I have multiple influences. I've gotten, you really do, it's an easy sort of world to be in. You get to know your heroes in country music fairly easily. The minute you have one hit, if you actually sort of do a little bit of due diligence, you can meet whoever you want in that world. But getting to be friends with somebody like Mick Jagger or John Fogerty or play something with Paul Simon or that, you know, that's not our world. So it's truly hard to do. It's sort of, you got to be very lucky, I think. And I've been very lucky to get that sort of opportunity. And in this case, to be able to collaborate with somebody like Mick, where you go into a room and you write a song with someone who's responsible for an entire art form. I mean, when you're talking about rock and roll, uh-huh. he's responsible for what we think of as rock and roll.
Yeah.
Him and obviously the Beatles and people like that. But when you think about the greatest living rock band, it's obviously the Rolling Stones. I mean, he invented the idea of frontman.
Yep.
So and then the same thing goes for Fogerty, who's like the voice of the Vietnam era. Here's a man that wasn't content to just do fun. You know, he did his share of the songs that are fun, like Looking Out My Back Door or whatever. But then to go to, you know, Fortunate Son and Run Through the Jungle and sort of make commentary at a time when rock and roll needed it. I mean, you know.
When you hang out with those guys, can you actually, do you talk about music more often, or do you get caught up in the thing that I would be afraid I would do, which is tell me about this, tell me about this, tell me this story?
I'm pretty careful about that. I mean, you know, with somebody like Mick, you've been around Mick quite a bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say quite a bit, but he hosted SNL once. That was the longest stretch I was around him.
Right. You notice
the thing I remember him saying the most is, that's not funny.
Right.
Yeah.
He says that to me a lot. I think he said that to me a lot during the day. But he would, he's somebody who likes to talk about the craziness of life. I noticed that we really bonded over just his experience in Nashville while he was there. Like, he came in just to write. And so we got to sort of goof around, and he had some experiences that I can't even tell on the air that were just like bizarre. As you can imagine, everywhere he goes, it's an interesting story.
Right.
Because people lose their minds.
Sure.
They do stupid things around him. He's used to that. And I think he loves it. He loves it that, like, he's not one of these artists that's sort of bitter that he can't be normal.
Right.
He's very happy to be Mick Jagger.
Well, yeah, I think frontmen, to some degree, need to actually embrace what comes
they
with
do.
Being a frontman.
I mean, when you're one of the biggest stars in rock and roll.
Yeah. Now, you, I want to, this brings me to how down to earth you are. The first, when I came to the CMAs, not only were you nice enough to invite us down to the CMAs, you picked me up at the airport.
Yeah. I went and got you, that's right.
Yeah, in a truck that I thought would be a little nicer. And
which truck
back,
was that?
But I will just say the back of the truck was three Captain America shields. There were
a couple
pairs of Hulk hands. And you said they were your kids. Is that true, or were those yours?
A few of them were Dad's. he had two shields and two Hulk hands, but he has a huge Captain America.
Okay, gotcha.
I have the more realistic. I have the one that's the movie prop.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Theirs are the, you know, the ones to play with. It's like, yeah, those, that's Daddy's. You leave that alone.
Yeah, because I remember you picked me up, brought us over to your place, and I remember saying to the kids, you guys, you obviously have a lot of cool stuff, and they didn't seem to know what I was talking about. They were mm-hmm. like, I don't remember having
I'm sort of a little bit of a geek, if you haven't noticed.
This was interesting. I remember last time we were talking, because the kids, you guys have seen some of the, you've seen the Avengers, but you guys, you're careful. You watch them first, right? You make sure there's...
We're almost past that. The ones you got to watch, it's like DC. Now, finally, they're sort of figuring it out with Wonder Woman. I think they're on the right track now.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while, as you and I, we talked about this, it's like these guys couldn't see Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, I think
they needed to make a movie these guys could see, because they're just... we would sit around and just tell them the story of Batman versus Superman, because I can't let them see that.
You're obviously a very attentive dad. You are very close with your kids. Your dad is very close with you.
He is very close.
Drives the bus.
Now and then. He's now not then. The main bus
he's,
driver.
I know he's not the main bus driver.
Thank God.
But it's very kind of you to let him drive the bus every now and then.
Well, I don't know how to get him out of it. I mean, it's like I haven't figured out how to get him to relinquish control. So he's, yeah, he got his CDL license. So
he
did. Goes
okay, that's
there.
Good. That was my follow-up question. He had to get an actual bus license.
He's a good driver.
Yeah.
He actually is a good driver.
But you have to get a, you can't just, I can't drive the bus.
No.
Yeah.
I can because I own it. That's right. What's interesting. It's like I would be allowed to drive that bus.
Without a special license.
Without the CDL because I own the thing. Something
gotcha.
About that. But yeah. As far as you go, unless you would like to invest in a bus.
No.
Then you could get around it.
Yeah. It would be great to take a bus, just be the jerk that takes a bus to work every day in New York City.
That would
just
be amazing.
Just a big bus with my face.
That would be amazing.
Take my bus home.
Yeah, put your face on it, too.
Yeah.
Some artists do
course.
That. I don't have my face
you
on
don't.
It.
You don't have no logo on your bus.
No.
Yeah. It could be anybody's bus.
That's fine.
Yeah. Except for the fact that you'd say, I think it's Brad's bus because that's definitely his dad driving it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your one.
It looks just like an old him.
That's your one piece of branding. All right. Always great to chat.
You
We're going to do it on the show tonight. Looking forward to it. And thank you, Huck and Jasper. Do you guys have anything else you want to say?
Not really.
What was your favorite movie this summer? Have you seen anything you liked?
Spider-Man.
It's
it was
a
good.
Sounding win for Spider-Man.
I think it was great.
That's great.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. I
what?
Saw Wonder Woman, which I loved.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was great.
Wonder Woman was great.
But they got Spider-Man right.
I'm so excited. We had him on the show. That kid was great.
They got him right.
And he was really good in the last Civil War one. So
he really was.
All right. Well, I've heard it from your kids. I've got to see Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Okay. Well, I think there's a couple ways to say it. Thanks for being here, Brad. I'll see you on the show tonight.
All right.
Our guest is a three-time Grammy-winning singer-songwriter whose 11th studio album, Love and War, is available now. He's also a host of the Netflix comedy special, Brad Paisley's Comedy Rodeo, which begins streaming August 15th. Please welcome back to the show our good friend, Brad Paisley, everybody. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's so wonderful to see you again. I know you're busy. I know you're out on tour. And this is very interesting to me because the scope of exactly how far country music reaches, because you're a West Virginia guy. You
right.
live in Tennessee, but you actually tour in Europe. You go to places, you're going to Scandinavia? Or
we were just in Sweden and Norway.
Okay, gotcha.
It's so much fun for me because I'm exotic
yeah.
over there. I'm the definition of not exotic in America.
That's true. Nobody says like, oh, that's an interesting looking
right.
weird thing I've never seen before.
Yeah, they show up, they got the hats, they got chaps. I mean, they're ready.
Do they know that nobody wears chaps over here anymore?
No.
Okay,
they're
gotcha.
Not. They think they're doing the right thing. It's fantastic, though, to go over there because they just seem to love it. They're sort of starved for it in these countries.
But they also, they're not just checking this out to see what country music's like. They know
no.
they're huge fans. They know the words. They sing along.
They know. They speak way better English than my band.
Yeah.
They really, I mean, it's their second language, but they're better at it than us.
Yeah. And no, it's really impressive.
They know the words. It's really neat. I love going over there every now and then. And
that's great. Well, welcome home. This is also cool. I always know you. You're a fan of comedy. You host the CMAs with Carrie Underwood. You guys are great. Your songs, a lot of your songs are really funny. And this is cool that you're doing this Netflix special. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I love the idea that between songs is the challenge for the musician. You know, you
yeah.
get out there and it's like, I learned a long time ago that if you entertain them between songs, it's gravy. It's like, people are like, oh, wow, that was even entertaining. So I really worked on the comedy chops for a while. And started hosting this thing at our comedy festival in Nashville called the Wild West Comedy Festival, which that title makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's East. But
yeah.
we have a great time, and I've got a bunch of comedians, and we stand up there and tell a bunch of jokes. And Netflix approached us and said, would you like to film that for a special? And we did, and it's a blast.
Well, it's also, I've been at concerts before. I've been at your concerts. And there's also that thing of musicians, when they tell a joke, the audiences
right.
love them because you're also a musician.
Right. And
like,
and
with comedians,
right.
there's not, if you bomb, you can't say, all right, let me get you back with a song.
Right, exactly. No.
Yeah.
And it's also the kind of thing where they buy a ticket to see music, and when you're funny, it's just so, it's so refreshing for them, as opposed to if they go to see you and you're not funny, they got nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, absolutely.
Well, it also makes sense because I do feel, particularly with you, and I feel like this is true of a lot of country music singers, I feel like your fan base really feels like they know you. Like, there's not a wall of stardom between the two. And because they know you, I think they really like, oh, this is, we're actually, he's telling us jokes. He feels like he knows us, too.
I think that's, it's an important thing about country music is we're not supposed to be the ones who are way out of touch and flying around on the private jets and everything, yeah. even though we're completely out of touch.
Absolutely. You get a new hat every morning.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you throw that in the garbage at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I can't be.
You're a really, you're a great lyricist. You're a fantastic guitar player, and you got to design your own guitar this year. This is a Fender?
Fender recently just came out with a Brad Paisley Telecaster.
That's great. So how, what do they, when you design it, like, what are they asking you for? Like, what input do you give?
You made that sound like they're crazy.
Yeah. I just feel like, can you tell them they're crazy, or are you like, 50 strings? Like, what?
Right, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be good, right?
No, basically, they want to basically make something that incorporates the things you like about their tellies.
And now, is that what you play? Is that one of the things you play?
It is. I'm going to play it tonight.
All right. That's great. That's very exciting. We talked about this on the show. The first time you were on the show, which was the very first week of the show, we met because you played, you were kind enough to play at my wedding.
I was.
You played our first dance.
I was desperate. I had nothing else to do.
And it was great. And my wife, you surprised my wife. I knew you were coming. And here's a photo to show exactly how surprised my wife was. There she is. And I was saying this to you earlier today. It was heartbreaking because she had not looked that happy over the course of the entire day.
No.
I felt like the whole day she was looking at me like, don't blow this. And then you showed up and it was like, yeah!
Well, it was really weird for me because I was approached, I don't know, what was it, 48 hours before
this?
Yeah, you were
not given a ton of time.
I was like, this is a prank. But I was a big fan. I think you're brilliant. I thought it would be fun to go do.
And you played this beautiful song called She's Everything.
I did that.
And I heard you actually have director's cuts of some of your songs. Yeah. You rewrite lyrics.
In the comedy special, actually. What do you have here?
There you go.
One of the things that I did trying to figure out what the heck I was going to talk about was the director's cuts. You know director's cuts of movies where they have the clips that didn't make the film?
Yeah.
Because She's Everything is a very sweet song.
It's a perfect, like, first dance at a wedding song.
But what if there's lines that are more realistic, especially now that you're married, you'll understand.
Okay, got it. So this is sort of the director's cut, married.
She's a yellow pair of running shoes, a holy pair of jeans. She looks great in cheap sunglasses. She's a passive-aggressive little thing. She's almost everything I ever wanted, almost everything I need. You know what I mean? As opposed to, you know. Yeah.
We're not quite there yet.
Right. But that's one of the things in the comedy special that we do is we dissect a few of the songs, like, you know, the current single that I'm doing. There's a few versions of that as well.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so glad you're sticking around and doing some music for us. It's always great to see you, buddy.
You.
Give it up for Brad Paisley.
Thanks for having me back.
Brad Paisley's Comedy Rodeo begins streaming August 15th on FX.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying,
lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.